Pray with me. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord, that you always speak into our hearts and lives. I pray, Father, that today that you would help me, Lord, to share what you'd have me to. And Father, I ask you, Lord, that our ears would be open and attentive and ready to receive, to retain the good word of God. Lord, that it'll produce fruit in our lives, and we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We are in a series just titled, His Church. It is His Church. Jesus said, I will build my church. We need to be ever mindful that the church is Jesus' church. It belongs to Him. You know, if it belongs to Him, then it should be about what He wants it to be about. And the Bible makes it very clear, Jesus Himself makes it clear, that His church is on a mission. We are a church on a mission. Well, just to kind of help you get started here, Charlie Brown one day is really depressed. He goes to his friend or nemesis, however you want to look at it, Lucy. She has a psychiatrist booth set up, and he's so desperate for help that he goes to her and he says, you got to help me. My life has no meaning. And she says, Charlie Brown, life is simple. Life is like a deck chair on a cruise ship. Some people have their deck chair on the back of the ship and they're looking at where they've been. Some people have their deck chair on the front of the ship. They're looking at where they're going. Life is simple, Charlie Brown. Where is your deck chair? Charlie thinks for a minute and scratches his head and he said, I've never been able to get my deck chair unfolded. You know, that's really where a lot of people are. They just don't have a clue about what it's really all about and what's going on. We know where we've been. We've been to the cross. We've been forgiven. We know where we're going. We're going to spend eternity with the Lord. But what are we supposed to be doing right now? I tell you, He has a purpose for the church being in this evil world. And that is that we are to fulfill the mission that He's given us. In Mark chapter 16 and Matthew 28, He says that we are to go into all the world and declare this good news, the message of the gospel. In Matthew, He says we're to make disciples, teaching them to observe everything that He's taught us. That's our mission. We call it the Great Commission, that Jesus commissioned us, sent us to do a job before He left. That's what He told us. And I just want to say from the very beginning this morning of this message, I'm certain that most of you have heard that before. But isn't it amazing how that we can drift far afield from what our real purpose is, and how that somehow that message of the Great Commission can just kind of be put on the shelf or on the back burner at best and not really something that we are passionate about. But I'm telling you, that's why the church is here. He said He was going to build His church and the very gates of hell would not be able to stop it. We're supposed to be moving forward, ever reaching out, fulfilling the purpose of God. We're not trying to hold the fort until Jesus comes. We're advancing on the gates of hell. We're not part of a spiritual bless me club. No, this is an all-inclusive. We're to reach out to everybody. We're engaged in a battle for the souls of men and women and young people and children. If we don't understand our ultimate purpose as a church in the earth today, that we're to reach this world, then we end up just kind of entertaining ourselves until the Lord comes. There was a consultant to churches that surveyed over 1,000 churches, and he asked them, one of the things he asked them was a simple question is, why does the church exist? 89% of the members said the church exists primarily to meet the needs of me and my family. 11% said the church is here primarily to reach the world. They also surveyed the ministers of those churches, and 90% of the ministers said, the church is here to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The numbers were flipped, which tells me that ministers have not done a very good job of communicating to the body of Christ why we're here. And too often, it becomes political, where even ministers are trying to placate to people and do what they think people want rather than what Jesus wants. So I'm going to tell you plainly today, our mission is to fulfill that Great Commission. That's really why we're here, is to reach the world. Sure, it's quiet in here. We're just going to keep going, though. We're a church on a mission. We need to know that's why we're here, is to win the world for Jesus Christ, to reach people. God forbid that we take on a monastery mentality just to close ourselves off from the world. No, he said to go into all the world. See, sometimes, you know, we look at this evil world we live in and all of the sin and immorality, the darkness of this world, and we just want to huddle together and hide. But I tell you, that's not the plan. The plan is for us to go into all the world and to share the message of the gospel. A church without a vision to reach the lost is a dying church. Real quiet in here. Man, you could hear a pin drop. I'm glad the crickets aren't doing their thing this morning. I heard one last Sunday, but anyway, it's quiet in here this morning. Now, there are some churches that are actually growing that don't care about the lost. Just by programs and flash and show and entertainment, you can draw people that way. But what we're about is reaching people, changing lives, seeing people's lives turned around. And so, church, I just want to communicate that to you today. We're a church on a mission. Our mission is to reach the lost world. You got to have a clear vision of that. You got to remember why we're here. Two guys working out in the hot summer sun. One of them is digging holes as fast as he can. Dig, dig, dig. And here, as soon as he digs the hole, here comes the next guy, and he fills the holes. Fill, fill, fill. Well, you watch this for a little while, and one man, it was more than he could take. So he walks over and he says to the guy that was digging, he says, what in the world are you doing? I mean, you guys are working so hard, but what are you doing? Digging holes and he fills them. He said, well, it may look kind of funny, but see, the guy that plants the tree is sick today. Listen, a lot of the church has a lot of activity going on, but nothing's really happening. They're just digging and filling holes. Forgotten what the real purpose is. It's not enough to just work hard. See, sometimes we might even be working hard. It's not enough to just work hard. We need to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. And it's not just about activity. It's about fruitfulness. It's about accomplishing what He has commissioned us to do. So we want to be passionate about that. Listen, the Lord is passionate about it. Listen, He died for that reason. So we need to be passionate about it. A lot of people, church is nothing more than some religious exercise that makes them feel better about themselves and maybe cope with life a little better. Church is about fulfilling God's purpose. He's building a church. He's gathering a people for Himself for all eternity. That's what He's doing. And Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's not a fort. Now, down through the years, there have been a lot of churches and missions that have been used as a fort, as a place of safety and refuge. But ultimately, as we said last week, the church is not a building or a place. It is people. And God's people are not to just hold the fort and huddle and hide together. We're to be advancing. Listen, gates don't move. Not even the gates of hell will prevail against the church. That was the message last week, that the church is unstoppable. Even the gates of hell can't stop the church. So we've got to be moving forward. We're to be on the offense. See, a lot of churches are just on the defense. In fact, most Christians, they're just on the defense. long as everything goes along okay, you know, I won't make any waves. We'll just be good little quiet little Christians. Defense mode. Doing the rope-a-dope. How many of you know what the rope-a-dope is? Oh, come on. Anybody remember Muhammad Ali? I know some of you are close to as old as me, at least, or maybe you've seen some old video of him. Muhammad Ali, when he got a little older, he couldn't fight 15 rounds like he did when he was young. And so what he would do is he would get up against the ropes and put his hands up and just protect himself and as best he could take the punches until his opponent got tired, and then he would come out swinging. But church has been doing the rope-a-dope too much. Just taking punches and sitting back. I'm telling you, it's time to come out swinging. And when I say come out swinging, I'm not talking about being militant and angry at the world. That's not God's way. The wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. That's what the Bible says. I'm talking about we come out swinging with the gospel, telling people about the Lord, sharing the love of Jesus Christ with people. That's how we reach the world. That's how we invade this world. That's how we prevail against the gates of hell. Church, we take the gospel to the world. Get out of defense mode. Realize that God wants us to be moving forward. He's building His church by reaching people, and He uses us to do that. We have the answers that this world needs. See, the world might tell you, you hear this in the attitude of this generation, that the church, that Christians just need to be quiet about their faith. Keep it to yourself. It's fine if you believe that. Just keep it to yourself and be quiet. But listen, when you've got the answers, when you have the cure, you need to share it. Listen, if God has given you peace, don't you think He wants them to have peace? If He's given you joy, don't you think He wants them to have joy? If He sets you free, don't you think He wants them to be free? We've got the answers. So I want to encourage you this morning. Realize you're on a mission to share what you've been given. Jesus said, freely you've received, now freely give. Jesus says, we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So here we are in this dark world, and we can gather together and huddle and say, oh, it's dark out there, and we can whine about it. I'll tell you, Christians don't ever have a reason to be whining. How's that go? You want some cheese to go with that wine? Come on. We don't have a reason to be whining. You're the light of the world. Oh, but it's getting so bad out there. So bad. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. Well, aren't you a prophet of joy and happiness? Just doom and gloom, going from bad to worse. You're the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. You think it's dark now. How do you think it was for those disciples living under Roman rule? How do you think it was for them with a religious society set in place where there was no freedom? And Jesus says, you're the light of the world. Church, we're the light of the world. We don't have to be afraid of the dark. You tell little kids, don't be afraid of the dark. Child of God, don't be afraid of the dark. You're the light of the world. You need to march out into this world realizing that you're on a mission. You have a job to do. You don't have anything to fear. You need to trust God and believe God. Know that you're the light of the world. Isaiah 61 and 2. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. See, the darker it gets in this world, the more the church shines. Now, that's prophetic of Zion, but I believe it's also prophetic of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, His glorious church, that in this world, though it may get darker and darker, the church is going to shine. We're going to rise up and shine, and people are going to be drawn to Jesus. That's what He wants. He wants the gospel to be preached to the whole world. Now listen, the church needs to rise up and shine and move forward. not to take over. Oh, I know. I know there's some churches, there's some people, there's some preachers that said, oh, we're going to take over. That's not God's plan for us to take over the world. His plan is for us to reach the world, to take this gospel to the whole world. That's His plan. Listen, we need to vote. We need to take every opportunity to further the kingdom of God. But we need to remember that our mission is to reach the world with the message of the gospel. Don't get confused about that. Listen, I'm seeing right now a lot of believers that get mad and want to fight over political issues, but when it comes to sharing their faith, they're like a little mouse that go hide in the corner. I'm preaching good right now. We need to take that passion and put it in the right place. Our passion needs to be what His passion is, to share the message of the gospel. I will say again, you need to vote. You need to do what you can to further the kingdom. We need to stand up for righteousness. But don't be confused about this. Our mission is to take His message to the world. And what we're seeing right now, so many Christians getting sidelined and distracted because they get caught up in issues. Instead of reaching people, they're running people away from Jesus. I'm telling you, we need to love people. We need to reach out to people with the message of the gospel. And listen, we're not going to reach people by being pharisaical. We need to share the love of Jesus with people. That's how He reached you. He draws us with loving kindness. It's His kindness that draws us to Him. I tell you, Jesus could have dethroned Caesar if He wanted to. He still can. When they came to take Him in the garden, He said, don't you know, I can pray to my Father and He'll provide me with more than 12 legions of angels. You see, Jesus could have taken it by force. Listen, they came and they wanted to make Him king, and He said, no, my kingdom's not of this world. No, He wants His kingdom to be in our hearts. He wants His kingdom to be in their hearts. I tell you, church, we got a job to do. We're on a mission. It's to take the message of the gospel to hurting people, to lost people. Jesus was never concerned about being popular politically. He's not like a lot of leaders today. He wasn't concerned about being popular. He didn't care if you voted for Him. And He wasn't concerned about being politically correct or socially acceptable. And I'm telling you that we as the church, we can't be concerned about being socially acceptable, politically correct. We got to carry the message of the gospel. We got to be passionate about it. We have to fulfill the purpose that He has for the church. Listen, if we try to make our Christianity what the world wants it to be, it won't change anybody. It won't help anybody. No, it is the power of the gospel that changes lives. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It is the good news that changes people's lives. It has the power to transform their lives. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's the good news in one verse. Oh, we just need to tell the world that God loves them. He wants them for eternity. He wants them to be with Him for all eternity. And our mission is just to share that good news. Some Christians think their job is to tell people they're going to hell. That's not good news. That's the worst news that you can get. No, the good news is that the gift of God is eternal life. Yeah, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The good news is that Jesus has paid the price for their sin. That's the good news. A lot of times the message the church has given to the world is that what you're doing is wrong. You need to stop sinning. You need to give that up. You need to start doing right. Now, I'm just telling you, that's what the world is hearing from the church. Maybe that's not what we intend our message to be, but most people who are not believers, who don't have a real relationship with the Lord, that's kind of the way they're hearing it. In fact, sometimes if you talk to people about the Lord, sometimes you'll hear things from out of their mouths like, well, you know, I know I need to stop doing this. I know I need to give that up. I know I should do better. I know I need to get my life straightened out. What they're not hearing is, Jesus loves you and He wants a relationship with you. That's why He died on the cross, to forgive you of your sins, so He could have a relationship with you for all eternity. They're not hearing that, church. We got to get the message across to them, what Jesus wants them to hear. We got to be on a mission to share that message. Our message can't be, stop sinning so you can be a Christian. That's a message of works. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. Listen, none of us could be good enough for God, and neither can anybody else out there. We got to preach the message of the gospel. It is a message of grace and forgiveness. It's not about religious works. I'm not talking about cheap grace. It's very, very expensive. But the price has already been paid. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. You know, I'm not talking about saying that you believe in Jesus and yet living in sin and doing wrong. But I'm telling you this, we all come to Jesus weak. We all come to Jesus as sinners. And it's Jesus that changes our lives. It's Jesus that washes us. It's Jesus that makes us a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19 says, if anyone is in Christ, well, you might just turn over there real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Now, some people get hung up on that word reconciled. You know, we use that word today when a husband and wife are having trouble and then things get worked out and we say they reconciled. That relationship has been restored. And you see, that's what God is doing through Jesus Christ. He is restoring the relationship between God and man. And that's what He wants with every person in this world, is to restore that relationship. So He's reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Our ministry is to see people restored in their relationship with God. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. In the New International Version, verse 19 says it this way, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. See, Jesus Christ came for that purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to reconcile us to the Father, to restore our relationship with God. That's what God has always wanted since the beginning. When Adam sinned, it was God who came seeking Adam in the garden. Adam wasn't looking for God. He was hiding. It was God that came looking for Adam. God knew what had happened, and He knew where Adam was. One of the funniest things in the Bible, hiding from God in a bush. He knew what had already, He already knew what Adam had done. He asked Him because He wanted Adam to admit it, wanted Adam to confess it. But listen, It was God that came seeking for Adam. And from that very day, God began fulfilling the plan to redeem mankind and to restore mankind in relationship to Himself. That's always been His plan. That's what He wants, is to reconcile man to Himself. Verse 19 tells us that He wants to reconcile the world to Himself. He wants to see the whole world reconciled to Himself. And our mission is to take His message to the world. You know, when people go to foreign countries to share the message of the gospel, we call that missions. Why? Because they're on a mission. And somehow, we in the church in America, unless we go to a foreign field, it seems that we lose sight of that. We also are on a mission. You don't have to go to Africa to be on a mission. You're supposed to be on a mission every day. We're a church with a mission. We've been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to share the message of the gospel. Every Christian needs to be about that we carry that message. Take that message to every lost person, no matter how bad they may seem, no matter how hard, no matter how much you think they won't hear it. Every alcoholic, every drug user, every new ager, every teenager, every child, every person in the nursing home, they need to hear the message of the gospel, that God loves them and wants a relationship with them, whoever they are, wherever they are. Tell them God cares about you. God wants to be close to you. God wants to help you in your life. Verse 19 tells us He's not counting men's sins against them. And you know, the King James, the New King James says He's not imputing men's sins. And we can just kind of run over that and think, imputing, well, you know, don't really know exactly what that means. But I'm telling you, the NIV just kind of nails it down for us. He's not counting men's sins against them. See, sometimes people think that God's up there in heaven and He's saying, oops, you messed up there. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. Saw that dirty thought. Got you again. He's keeping a record. Who's naughty and nice? He's counting your sins. More and more judgment coming on you. He's counting up your sins. Well, they haven't read 2 Corinthians 5:19 because it says God is not counting men's sins against them. You know why? Because Jesus Christ paid the price for their sins. He's removed the guilt. He's already taken it. He's not counting their sins against them. When's the last time you told somebody that? God forgives them. See, we're all worried about their sin. God took care of their sin on the cross. It's really funny how we play the Pharisees sometimes. One person sins once a month. I'd like to be that person, wouldn't you? Another person sins 99 times a month. Now, on the basis of their sins, which one is righteous with God? Neither. It's not about that. I'm not telling you that sin doesn't matter. No, listen, God wants everybody to be free. He doesn't want anybody to be bound by sin. But there are a lot of Christians that are still bound by sin, and God loves you. And He wants you to be free. But sometimes we communicate this message to the world that, listen, you can't have a relationship with God till you get right. You get everything, every bit of sin out of your life. You know what? They're never going to have a relationship with God then, because it can't happen. It can't happen without His work in their life and the power of the Holy Spirit working in them. Listen, He's still working on us. He's still cleaning you up. By His blood, He still washes us, and by the truth of His word, He's still sanctifying us and washing us with the water of the word. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, He still convicts us and still shows that we're still growing, I hope, Amen. So when we're communicating the message to people, we need to have this attitude. Listen, the problem is not their sin. Jesus took care of their sin. The problem is that we've got to communicate this message to them, that He loves them. And if they'll just receive Him into their life, if they'll make Him Lord of their life. Now listen, yes, Jesus is going to convict them, and the Word, the Scripture is going to show them where they need to change their life. And there are going to be things in their life that God is going to speak to them about. Isn't that the way He works with you? Amen. He's been cleaning me up for a lot of years now. But I tell you, we grow in the Lord, and He shows us things, He convicts us, He sets us free, and that's the way He wants to work in their lives too. It's His grace that gives people the power to change. Religion shackles people to their past and to their faults, but God's grace brings us forgiveness, it restores us, it makes us more than we could ever be on our own. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I'm telling you, it is that message of the gospel that changes people and sets people free. So our message to the world needs to be about God's grace and forgiveness. And yet a lot of time what they're hearing is, stop sinning! Standing on the aisle in Target one day, and I overhear the Christian on the next aisle talking to an unbeliever. Happened to be New Year's Eve. And that person was going to go out drinking that night. And so here's this Christian telling them, trying to convince them that Jesus didn't drink real wine. It was just grape juice. Don't even go there. We're not going there this morning, all right? But here's the point. We want to argue with people about their sins and argue over doctrines and petty little things. And what we need to be doing is talking to them about Jesus. I tell you, we got to keep our focus. We're supposed to be fishers of men. You can't clean fish before you catch them. It just doesn't work that way. And you know what? It's not your job to clean them anyway. You know, that's the one part of fishing I don't like, is cleaning fish. And we don't have to with the Lord. We just catch them. He cleans them. He cleans them by His blood and with His word, by the conviction of His Spirit. He cleans them. It's not our job. Our job is to share the message of the gospel, to bring them to Jesus. That doesn't mean that you got to go out and preach on every street corner, that every one of you has been called to be a street preacher. I don't believe that. But what it does mean is that you need to have a conviction in your heart, that there's a purpose for you, that you're on a mission today, that somebody's going to cross your path that you need to share the Lord with. Somebody's going to cross your path that's stressed out, and you need to tell them about the peace that God's given you. There's going to be somebody, some way that you need to help somebody. You need to share the love of God with somebody. There's a purpose for you today, an eternal purpose, that you're going to make a difference. You're not here just to live out another day, make another dollar, achieve some level of success. Oh man. Or even to be a good person. I didn't say you shouldn't be a good person. Somebody's going to go out here and say, Pastor said we didn't have to be a good person. I'm saying that why you're here, the purpose that you're here is to share the gospel, to minister to other people, to help other people. Listen, if the plan was just get saved and go to heaven, there's no need for the church to still be here. We're here because we got a job to do. We're on a mission. You know, it's a sad thing, but I really believe that the church can accomplish its mission if we want to bad enough. I say it's a sad thing because that means the real issue is we don't want to bad enough. You know, they do this in children's church and children's crusades and things where we say, okay, whoever brings the most visitors, you're going to get this $50 digital camera. And the kids get excited and they invite their friends. I realize this is really ugly to say this and do this with adults, but I'm just feeling it that way this morning, so here it comes. What if we offer a trip to Hawaii for the person who brings the most people to church? Come on. I'm telling you, we'll get some folks in church next Sunday, wouldn't we? If it was for real. See, y'all know it's not for real, so y'all are like, yeah, whatever. No, if it was for real, if there was a trip to Hawaii for the person that brought the most people, I'm telling you, there's more at stake than just having a good time in Hawaii. Come on. There's a lasting joy, that something that can't ever be taken away from you in eternity when God uses you and you have a part in somebody else's life being changed. See, we the devil sidetracks us and gets our minds mixed up about this where, you know, we get confused. We think it's not important anymore or, you know, with somebody else. No, we need to be passionate about it. We need to realize the rewards are so great. And we shouldn't be like little children that have to get a prize here on this earth. I'm telling you, God's going to reward us. God's going to bless us. But there's nothing that compares to the joy of knowing that God has used you to impact somebody else's life. So I encourage you, you want purpose, you want meaning in life, you just begin to reach out to other people. You just begin to let God use you. Now some of you say, oh, but I'm shy and I'm quiet. Me too. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can use you. It doesn't matter how shy or quiet. Listen, some of those people that are shy and quiet, when they do talk, everybody listens. And you might just say one little thing that changes somebody else's life. We got to be reaching out. Most churches become focused inwardly. They develop programs just to maintain. They focus on meeting the needs of their members rather than reaching the lost. We want whatever programs we have, certainly they minister to our children, our young people, other groups within the church. But every program we have in this church, we want it to be evangelistic, that it's reaching out to people. I tell you, we got to keep our focus. Now, there's a story that's been told. I'm sure that it's a story that some preacher made up somewhere along the line. But it makes the point really well. I want to share it with you this morning. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a little crude life-saving station, and the building was no more than a hut. There was only one boat and a few devoted members that kept a watch over the sea. Without thought for themselves, they would go out and they would search for those that were lost when there was a shipwreck. Some of those that were saved and some of the people that lived in the surrounding area, they wanted to be associated with the life-saving station, so they gave their time, money, and effort to support the work. Eventually, they bought new boats. And they decided that it was a shame, you know, to bring in these people that they had rescued, to bring them into this little hut. So they built a big, beautiful life-saving station and made it really nice inside. But over time, it became more and more of a club, just a place for all of the members to get together. And eventually, they decided that they didn't really like having to go out on the sea and risk their lives and do that work, and so they hired professional crews to do the work. When there was a wreck, there were crews that were paid to go out and to rescue the people. Well, one day, there was a big ship that wrecked, and so there were a lot of survivors that were brought in, and it was just chaos in the little club life-saving station, and there in their beautiful facility were all of these wet, nasty people, and they said, something's got to be done. And so they built a shower outside so they could clean them up before they brought them in. And that wasn't enough. And so they decided, they said, look, we don't want to do this anymore. This is messing up our station here. Well, there was a small group of people that said, but that's what our purpose is. That's why we're here. And the big group said, hey, if that's the way you feel, you just need to go start your own life-saving station. And so they did. But eventually the same pattern repeated itself, and again and again. And they say that at that particular place, there are a lot of wrecks that still happen, but nobody's rescued anymore. Now, the point of the story is obvious. There are a lot of churches that somewhere along the line, they start off good. They start off reaching people. If they didn't, they would never have a church or a building. They start off reaching people. But somewhere along the line, they lose their mission. They lose their purpose. I tell you, church, we got to keep sight always of why we're here. Got to keep it in our hearts all the time. And you know how God might use you might be different every day. And for each one of us, God uses us in different ways. You know, one of the things I learned a long time ago is there are people that I'm not going to be effective at reaching. There are people that you're going to be effective at reaching. But God uses each one of us in different ways, and He gives us opportunities. But here's what we got to know. You see, if we don't have that passion in our heart, if we're not on that mission, we'll miss it. We'll miss those opportunities. We'll end up just fulfilling our own agenda instead of the mission. We're a church on a mission. I want you to stand with me as we pray this morning. I just encourage you, as always, let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart. I believe there's some of you here today that you know you've gotten pretty far afield from that mission. And it's time to refocus back on what's really important. I encourage you to just make a new commitment to the Lord, to be passionate about what He's passionate about, to take His message to the world. And if there's somebody here today that maybe you yourself have drifted away from the Lord, and your relationship, you're not as close as you once were, I got a word for you. God wants you back. He wants you back. You see, it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. God wants you back. He loves you. He wants you restored. And so if you're that person today, and there may be several, if you're the person standing there and you're thinking, well, I know I'm not where I once was. I know I'm not really right with God. I know I'm not close to God like I should be. Listen, He wants you back. The price has already been paid for you to be forgiven. I want our prayer partners to come. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the word of the Lord to us today to remind us, Lord, of what's really important. I pray, Father, that it would get deep down in our hearts. And I ask You, Lord, the Holy Spirit would just stir us with a fresh passion for the lost. Oh, to be moved with compassion for people, to truly care. And Father, I pray that we'll be diligent, be earnest. Lord, that we'll work hard at it. Lord, that we'll be willing to lay aside our own agenda and our own selfish wants to reach out to people. Help us, Lord, to see them as You see them, to care as You care, Lord. And Father, I pray for those that are struggling in their walk with You today. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just woo them and draw them in, Lord, and just restore them today in Jesus' name. I thank You for it, Lord. I thank You for it, Lord. I encourage you this morning, if the Lord's dealing with you, if you need prayer this morning, to just step out and come. We're going to take just a minute to worship the Lord. And if you've come to this service with any need in your life and you want prayer, you're welcome to come.